Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Today's Chicago Way, John Cass and Jeff Carlin are joined by our friend Steve Huntley, 30 years a veteran Chicago newspaper man, editor of the Sun-Times editorial board, Metropolitan editor. You've done it all at Sun-Times. And he writes now for John Cass News, and he's working on a piece for this week on Israel and the hostages. And he says, this is a time we need clarity, but we're not getting any. What is it, Steve?
Well, that's exactly right. This hostage release of the last week should be a moment of clarity. I mean, just look who they were. Toddlers and grandmothers, elementary school-age children and gray-haired women. At least one now an orphan because the Hamas terrorist killed his parents on October 7th. Then there are the children who have branding on their legs, where Hamas creeps force their legs against hot motorcycle exhaust pipes in order to brand these kids.
Oh, man.
There's the traumatized kid who talks only in whispers, and an 84-year-old woman who was immediately sent to the IC unit after release because she had been denied life-sustaining medications for weeks. These are the people Hamas makes war on. This should be a moment of clarity. But unfortunately, as you indicated, I think that moment seems lost in most of the media coverage.
Why is that? The common and anti-Semitic attitudes of many in America and the West, for years now, you know, as long as I've been a journalist, is, oh, the Jews control the media, blah, 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 whatever they spew, the hatred they spew against Jewish people.
Right.
And obviously, the Jews do not control the media, clearly, and at a cost to not only the security of the Jewish state, I would suggest, but also, and this is open to both of you guys, isn't the West at stake?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the core issue here of civilized society is at stake, where people have a right to live in peace, where kids should be able to play outdoors without having to worry about some gun-toting terrorist coming up and shooting his parents and taking him over to some basement where his leg is pressed against a hot motorcycle exhaust pipe to brand him. So in case he gets away, they can easily find him. It doesn't make much sense to me, but it's...
They wanted to inflict pain, Steve,
yes,
right?
Exactly right. Exactly right, which is evident from the orgy of violence on October 7th that included raping and beheading and mutilating bodies, burning bodies so much that still weeks later, the Israelis have not identified all the dead.
But our president seems unsure. And in that uncertainty and I guess weakness, some would call it, you have a policy field that is full of possibilities, and none of them are being realized.
No. I mean, I think there are people in the White House looking over their shoulders at the Arab American vote in places like Michigan, a battleground state where... Mm-hmm. I think Biden will be depending on that vote next year. And then, of course, the far left of the party, which is increasingly a larger and larger share of the party, it may even be half or more of the party now, looks at the world and divides it into two groups, the oppressed and the oppressors. And that's simplistic, unrealistic.
Where are we? I guess,
who are the oppressors?
But I don't understand the whole intersectional hierarchy. I'm at, right now, as we're speaking, I'm at the Palmer House Hotel. Betty and I are staying a weekend here.
Do a staycation?
Like a staycation, but also I get to brave the wilds of the Chicago Loop and See how long I can survive. But at the same time, my grandfather, both my grandfathers, when they came to this country in the early part of the century, last century, they would not have been able to stay at the Palmer House because they were Greek, and Greeks weren't white. In those days. And now apparently I'm a West because the Hellenic ideal is founded on the West and intertwined with the West. I guess Greeks are also colonists and therefore also evil. I can't keep it straight in my feeble mind.
Yeah. You were talking too about the media and the pushback and just the idea that it seems like people are really far left if they are left at all. I have seen some kind of a swing back away from the stuff we saw on the campuses right after October 7th. And it was the idea that, Israel is the devil all of a sudden, right? And
they always are.
Right, somehow. I mean, that's the thing. Right. If it's always the same group that's being called the devil, then there's probably a problem with everybody else. You can't put them in every possible situation, and they're the bad guy in every situation. It doesn't make any sense.
It's kind of like Republicans and conservatives are also
sure.
MAGA, yeah. MAGA, yeah. They're just driving me to MAGA. I swear to God, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, right, I mean, but I will say I've seen some shift, it feels like, in some social media circles where it's people are refuting the idea that Hamas is somehow the good guy in this fight. In limited scope, but I do feel like this whipsaw effect of people throwing up their flags and putting on their masks and rushing to the streets. It was a lot of drummed up.
Ban the barricades. Right. What do you say, Steve? Steve, what do you say?
I hope that's true. You're connected to social media better than I am. I'm not real big on it. But, I mean, I saw the other day a clip from the Oakland City Council meeting that was absolutely horrifying. People got up, and one after another said the January 6th atrocities were, one, either Israeli propaganda,
right,
or it was the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, that were killing Jews in that kibbutz and at that music concert.
Yeah. It's crazy
that is not isolated. You hear that now and then from other places. So it wasn't just Oakland crazies, but it's
all right. The issue for Israel and Jews is, if I were there, if I were one of them, I'd want my revenge now. I'd want it hot. Yes. I'd want, take those guys who burned those babies, and just take them out.
Yes.
But Israel has to survive long term, and I don't think we can survive. We can survive with them. I'm not going to abandon Israel. I mean, is that what the left wants? That's what the Democratic left wants us to do.
Absolutely right. They want us to shift sides. Israel is the oppressors. I mean,
no way.
There was that fame. You're talking about your Greek heritage and about how Greeks have become white people. I mean, do you remember that episode on The View where Whoopi Goldberg made those crazy comments about the Holocaust, about it was a white on white crime, in effect, of taking, denying
humanity,
a victim status.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess there's no depth. This is what people should understand. I think everyone who reads us and listens to us, because we're in the minority in terms of opinion. But people, do you ever wonder how deeply the left hates America, hates Israel, hates us? And by the left, I mean Democrats. Yeah. I've never believed in this lockstep approach to voting. I've always thought of voting for the person, not the party. But you know what? I'm of the, you know, I and I because I perhaps it's because I loathe creatures like Mitch McConnell, the combine king. But I'm getting to the point now, just for psychological self-preservation, where I see a world where I'm forced to vote party line on everything. And basically, in the words of Elon Musk, tell Bob Iger and the rest of the woke left, and meaning the Democrats, to go F themselves. I don't know how else to deal with this.
I don't know either, because, I mean, that's where we're kind of forced to. I mean, to go back to that Whoopi Goldberg thing, where she, in effect, denied the Jews their identity as a as Jews, that they're just white people now.
Yeah.
And it's frightening, this oppressed and oppressor divide that is being churned out. We've learned recently that our not just our colleges and universities, but our elementary schools and our high schools are factories churning out kids and young people who believe this stuff.
And they're like in Evanston, which won the prestigious and hard-fought Mutza of the Month, the Golden Mutza. Evanston was segregating kids on the basis of race and then lying about it.
Yeah,
that's and the thing.
And I mean, Danny Prof made a thing of it, but the papers. Now, look, I worked at the Tribune all the years that Steve was working at the Sun-Times. And if we had heard it when we were back at the editorial boards, either editorial board knew about this, we would have written about it. I know Steve would have written about it. I would have written about it. Kristen McQuarrie would have written about it. John McCormick and so forth. And so on Steve's part, I'm speaking for Steve. I shouldn't, but I just got a feeling that Steve Huntley would not abide racism.
No.
You know, but that's what we're doing. And by covering it up, by avoiding the subject, aren't we protecting the same, the very people that we say we revile? And so how does the population in times of crisis see us as arbiters of what? Some uneven moral landscape? How does it work?
Got me. It's mystifying to me that we're going back to segregation as the desired way of life, and how good will come out of it. How a unified country, with where we're all citizens in the same country and all equal and share a bondage of a brotherhood and sisterhood, how that comes out of that, I don't know.
Do we have to be attacked? We have to be driven to our population to be murdered by outside forces in order to wake us up and drive us together and unify ourselves?
Maybe. I mean, you know, before this current war broke out, the Israeli society was rendered by a violent and political disagreement over legislation regarding their Supreme Court and some other facets.
They wanted to get rid of Bibi. Yeah. They're trying to.
And now they've come together, and the whole society is united to defeat Hamas. And you hate to think that we will need something like that to restore our unity, and maybe we will. I mean,
it's been one of our biggest hallmarks since our founding, unfortunately. Some sort of external threat brings us together, and then we have this great, you know, decades of prosperity. The thing I can't wrap my head around is this idea that like your example, you know, in Oakland, someone standing up at a city council meeting and you know, being crazy because they're not making any sense. The fact that people are, you know, thousands of miles away, we don't believe anything that anybody sells us in any sort of realm, because it's the institutions have been destroyed. The media, the mainstream media, you know, the State Department, the Justice Department. None of these, all these groups have had terrible track records over the past decades, and now we're reaping what we sow. So people come out and say, oh, you know, the Israelis are doing all this. It's propaganda. I saw it. It's TikTok. I saw, you know, they're seeing quote unquote evidence, and it's not there. But the numbers don't lie in this situation. You know, you look at this peacekeeping, this peace pause, whatever, the truce, which is a weird thing to call it. But Israelis, how many Israelis were captured and then released? I think the number is in somewhere upwards of 80 people is that are being released by Hamas. And that number is twice as fold as coming back from Israel. And yet somehow this is supposed to feel like the Israel is still the bad guy here. Why are they giving up twice as many prisoners, quote unquote, releasing people? Hamas did this on purpose. Hamas knew what they were doing. They knew that if they captured people, they'd be able to bargain back for more. They knew they were going to be able to turn media that against Israel, because Israel has been with Netanyahu in hand, has been this bad guy, this boogeyman. And so we're stuck looking at all these pieces about, well, how did this happen? They've been planning this. This has been in the works. This is something they were working towards. And we've been caught off guard. And like you said, the voting against top-to-bottom ticketing, you know, pulling a conservative lever is really the only answer now, because it's crazy that's where we are.
They're forcing me. Their hatred, look, they hated Donald Trump so much that they attacked everyone around him. And they attacked anyone who, like, would even try to deal with it or to be, you know, civil. And they took out the tomahawks. And now the other side is taking out the tomahawks, too. And it doesn't matter. When you hear Steve Huntley's voice with the contempt in it, talking about the view and those witches, those, what are they, the flesh-eating mayors of Diomedes, on the view, you know, rendering man into chunks like ravenous horses. I don't know what to say about that, except I don't want to be part of it. And so I guess we're talking here, but I'm going all out Trump. I don't know what else to do. I don't want Israel to be destroyed. Is that wrong? I mean, I don't want the America I love to be destroyed like the Serbo-Croatian wars of the 90s that we both were around for. I don't want that to happen.
Yeah, you know, and you make good points there, and it creeps into every facet of life. You know, like the Democrat people in I think New York and California, and they got talked up in Washington. We're talking about, you know, banning gas stoves. Do we want to live under a government that micromanages our life to the point of determined telling us what kind of stove we can have in our kitchen? That's a pretty fundamental question. When you talk about an authoritarian government, that sounds pretty authoritarian to me.
But Steve, the media for years now, since 2016, was convinced that conservative Republicans were the authoritarians, and that they would use Trump and others would use their power of government to ram stuff down their throats. But it really looks like they were projecting, doesn't it?
I think that's exactly what was going on.
Right. You can't trust that. Like the left is using this the boogeyman foil for so long, and it's worked.
But you know, Steve and I are conservative guys, and we are associated with it. But Jeff, you have always been to be sort of like a, not, you know, I don't say leftist, but
no, Like you, John, I'm a progressive, but
I'm a Reagan liberal, man.
Right.
Liberal under Reagan. Yeah.
Right. The island you're standing on is somehow drifted out to sea, and it's like you say, you know. I've always been a swing centrist type. You know, there's a time for progressive agendas and pushing things and moving forward as a society. There's also a time to retract and protect our society, in my mind. And you know, it's not one road or the other. It's what tool do you need at the moment to get through what you're dealing with? And you know, that's always how I've been. But I feel like that mentality, that idea is just been blown up from the left and the right, and yes. Now, like you said, people are being the lines have been clearly drawn in the sand. Either you think that Israel is the oppressing, you know, colonizing group in the Middle East, and they're the bad guys in the Middle East, or you think the terrorists who plan about how they can do the most damage to the most people, to the most institutions, to the most national impact, they're the good guys. So if you that's the, you know, that's the equilibrium we're at. And if I'm sold that I have to believe that's, you know, that those are the only two truths, then, you know, then I can't go with a group that says that I have to believe one or the other. You know, I have to go with a group that says, let's take a big picture. Look at all this. This is clearly there's something wrong. And right now there's only one group that's saying that. You know, the other group, the left, is saying, it's absolutely right. The right is
you racist. You're racist. Come on, y'all.
So
what is Brandon Johnson? You know, by the way, you guys should know this. I've created a new name for him. Mayor Dimwits, because he's rather dim-witted, isn't he?
From what I heard he said the other day about the blaming right-wing Republicans. Pretty incredible.
I've yet to be impressed by anything he said. And you know, Lori used to be able to say things that at least you'd be like, okay, well, she said the right things.
We knew that we thought her heart was in the right place. You know, remember when we had her?
I still think it is, John. I just think she ran into the meat processor that is the Chicago machine controlled by the CTU.
The CTU, yeah. They had Taylor, Alderman Taylor, Jeanette Taylor, one of Brandon Johnson's strongest allies, was saying basically that he wasn't ready for the job.
Mm-hmm.
I could have told you that. I did tell you that. And they're being made fools of by Johnson, the progressives, he wasn't ready for it. And the question is, as long as Brandon Johnson can be reviled on Ben Jarofsky's leftist show, there's no pushback to the people that put him in.
Right.
Like they won't say, hey, Tony Preckwinkle, you presented us with this choice. CTU, what's her name? The woman that lives in Indiana, my state now.
Stacey Davis Gates.
Stacey Davis Gates, right?
Indiana's very own.
He gave us, you know, you paid, you got all those tax breaks for the Indiana house, and you built us Brandon Johnson, and he's a failure. They can't say that, Steve. The question is, okay, put your editorial hat on. Back in the day, you're running the Sun-Times editorial department, and Steve looks around at his colleagues and says, what? I want to think about Tony Preckwinkle. How do they react, Steve?
In today's newspaper, they would probably be pro. But let me just back up a minute. Let me ask this question.
Yes.
If the election of last April, the runoff election of last April,
right,
could be redone tomorrow, do you think the results would be different?
Yes.
He's under 28%, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I can't tell you guys how many people I know who would fall strongly in the, you know, liberal left-leaning arena, and have went into the election saying, well, you know, voting, quote unquote, their conscience. So they, meaning they couldn't vote for the white guy because they'd be considered racist to themselves or their friends. I don't know.
Right, right. That's
but now that they've seen the ineptitude and now that they've heard the nonsense that comes out of this guy's mouth and the lack of a plan and the lack of organization, the fact that he fired Allison Arwady in the dead of night and then she gets promoted and he, oh, by the way, I finally picked somebody to replace her. You know, all this stuff where he's leading from behind, which is not a good way to lead. And it means he's playing cleanup on everything. They're like, I don't know what this guy's doing. I haven't seen anything. You know, I haven't heard anything. I haven't been impressed. And those people are the ones I think that tilted and went that way because they were, quote unquote, voting their conscience because everything they saw on the internet told them that, you know, Paul Vallis was the bad guy. Paul Vallis is Israel or whatever. I mean, and it's the same thing that I think we've been under attack. And John, I have to.
Paul Vallis is a what? What did they say? They wanted to say he was Jew, but he's Greek, so they didn't know. Jews, yeah. Greeks, well, what? They're all the same.
Right? He's the Antichrist.
They're white.
Trump.
People.
He's Trumpian.
Exactly,
he's
right. They're white people. They're all
right. White. Exactly.
That's where we are now.
Exactly.
In August or whatever, July, the Democratic National Convention will be held in Chicago. The worst bleeping mistake in the history of mistakes. Okay?
I don't know. NASCAR was pretty bad.
But at least they made some money, didn't they?
Yeah, did they? Anyway, it'll be the summer of not love in Chicago, that's for sure.
Yeah, if the left is revolting over Biden's support for Israel, will it be a replay to some degree of 1968?
I mean, look at the state of things. I would say, yeah, because the left, as we've called it, you know, they still think the DNC at center is too far, is too close to the center. They want them further out on the left, and they want more power. And there's been infighting. We've seen this. So I don't know. I think all bets are off as to what's going to happen this summer in Chicago.
And whatever happens will be play against the background of a depleted and demoralized police department, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, there's no Aaron Sorkin to create a left-wing fantasy of the progressive city under the Bolsheviks. Even though he tries mightily, the fact is that even Bolsheviks get mugged by reality, gentlemen.
They always end up getting mugged by reality if history has taught us anything, John.
So I think we'll leave it there, but I have to say there's nothing like talking to you two when I'm downtown Chicago thinking of all the merch that we're going to sell. We need to have some Steve Huntley merch. I don't know what, like, I'm thinking Steve Huntley Justin boots, you know? What do you think, Steve?
No, I'm waiting to read your column about your weekend experience in downtown.
There's no room service. You know what? I told Betty. I
no
told
room
Betty.
Service at the Palmer Hotel.
Give yeah.
Me. What is the world coming to?
Next time I'm going to the peninsula and paying $500 a night if I have to. All right, gentlemen. For Steve Huntley, longtime veteran Chicago newsman, now writing for John Cass News. Look for his column this week. And for Jeff Carlin, executive producer, WGN Radio, friend of cats, lover of pies, husband to Christine. And for me, John Cass, the king of John Cass News merch, and it's coming to you, including that cool hat. And the Steve Huntley cutting boots that we'll get for the cutting horses.
I vote Steve Huntley editorial notepads. So like the equivalency of what
like
you take.
Post-it notes.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
No Trombone Zone. Steve Huntley approved.
I've transcribed what do we do?
Trademarked
the slogan. So maybe we'll have to sell those, Steve. What do you think?
Absolutely.
And for me, John Cass, blah, blah, blah. See you later. So, see you on another edition of the Chicago Way podcast on WGN+.